WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas appears to be over. Israel pounding parts of Gaza with airstrikes overnight. That's a scene near a hospital after the attacks. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says more than 400 Palestinians were killed. Israel says Hamas did not agree to extend the terms of the first phase of the ceasefire as Israel wanted. President Trump will talk with Russian President Vladimir Putin on the phone this morning about a possible ceasefire in Ukraine. The Fed kicks off its two-day meeting today.
The Federal Reserve is expected to hold interest rates steady at around 4.5%, despite encouraging news on inflation and amid concerns tariffs could cause a recession. The Fed had lowered interest rates in 2024, though signaled a slowdown in rate cuts this year. After Wednesday, the Fed's next chance to change interest rates will be early May. Christian Cordero, ABC News, Washington.
Today, President Trump will release the entire government file related to the assassination of JFK. This is ABC News. Jury selection begins today for Nadine Menendez's fraud and bribery charge. The wife of former Senator Bob Menendez, accused of conspiring to accept gold bars or Mercedes and other gifts totaling hundreds of thousands of dollars in exchange for her husband helping businessmen from Egypt and Qatar. New evacuation orders put in place in Oklahoma, where wildfires spreading across the plains have killed at least four people and burned hundreds of homes. Another legendary singer-songwriter makes his way to Broadway.
Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
Joining Alicia Keys, Dolly Parton, and Neil Diamond as musical icons turning their songs into Broadway stage musicals, James Taylor. A show titled Fire and Rain was announced Monday. It's in development. Fire and Rain was released as a single in 1970 from Taylor's second album, Sweet Baby James. It peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
That's ABC's Chuck Sievertson. The show being workshopped and no preview dates have been set. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Sheriff Todd Scarbin with an important message. Law enforcement teams from across Wisconsin work extremely hard to keep you safe, especially from violent crime. When liberal judges refuse to actually punish violent criminals, it undermines the entire criminal justice system. Some liberal judges, like Susan Crawford, do just that, and her record proves it. Crawford gave 4 years to a guy who sexually assaulted a 6-year-old. She gave 2 years to a guy who beat up his girlfriend and also shot a man. And Crawford gave only 90 days for a guy who brutally beat and strangled a woman. We need a Supreme Court judge who will make public safety a top priority, who will interpret the rule of law in a firm but fair manner, and will not legislate from the bench. More than 80 sheriffs agree, liberal Judge Susan Crawford would make it harder for us to keep you safe.
Call Susan Crawford at 608-266-4231 and tell her to stop releasing dangerous criminals. Paid for by WMC Issues Mobilization Council.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
A setback for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks backup center, Jericho Sims, will be out for at least a month. Sims had surgery yesterday in New York after suffering torn ligaments in his right thumb. It happened early Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims, after the game, his right hand all taped up.
Happened the first few seconds I was in. I got caught on another player when I was cutting him off. Physical is just boxing out. I mean, that's something that we usually are good at, but, you know, it's certain teams we tend to struggle with.
The Bucks open a 5-game road trip tonight against Golden State. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Denver for their game Thursday afternoon against Montana. Marquette will face New Mexico in Cleveland on Friday night. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Padres 14-8 out in Arizona. Infielder Bryce Terang sitting out with a sore shoulder. For now, it looks like Joey Ortiz will start at shortstop on opening day. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Despite some well-reviewed films, it was a pretty lackluster weekend at the box office. The weekend proved to be the lowest grossing theater totals of the year so far, with prognosticators surprised that a spring break weekend at the box office came in even lower than Super Bowl weekend by about $1 million. Novocaine led the way with a little more than $8 million at the gate. The film stars Jack Quaid as a man who does not feel pain while trying to rescue his kidnapped girlfriend. Last week's champ, Mickey 17, finished in second place with $7.5 million and $33 million for the two-week total. Steven Soderbergh's new spy thriller, Black Bag, finished with $7.5 million, but on about 1,100 less screens than Mickey 17. Rounding out the top five are Captain America, Brave New World, which pulled in over $5 million, and The Day the Earth Blew Up, the first Looney Tunes movie ever made for a theatrical release, with a disappointing just over $3 million. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a winter storm that's going to bring some heavy snow late tonight through Wednesday afternoon. We're talking 4 to 8 inches of accumulation with strong 30 to 40 mile per hour wind gusts creating blowing snow into Wednesday evening. Today, though, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, 617,000 Wisconsin food insecure residents targeted by DOGE. Plus, which voting bloc will be most impacted by the trade war retaliation? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, March 18th. Coming up, well, more than we expected. Because Dan Hagen couldn't join us in the last segment. He's on vacation here. And we get this note from Hans Breitenmoser saying he feels awful for Dan having to lie on that beach. Would we like him as a guest? Yes, we would. So we'll talk to Hans, pinch hitting for Dan, coming up a little later on this hour. We've got a lot of ground to cover, everything from Derek Van Orden referring to this little endeavor as a clown show to a bill that Assembly Republicans are going to be passing today that micromanages sheriff's departments around Wisconsin and puts racial profiling above public safety. But first, what a messy day could lie ahead of us as early as 24 hours from now. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot here to tell us about another storm system moving in, because what do I say, kids? Winter doesn't go away until it breaks you.
I was going to say, because God has forsaken us, but that's fine. We'll go with yours. It's good.
Wow. Well, God's forsaken you. He won't let you enjoy coconut. So, yes. Honestly, the comments section is still just going wild with coconut wars. So we can't even, we won't even. There's winter coming back again. Brittany's got to tell us about that. Brittany, tell us about the stuff that falls like flaky white coconut upon us all tomorrow.
Oh, that was a good transition there.
Thank you.
I'll give you that one. Yes. Okay. All right. So we do have that winter storm watch that went out last night, all the way from Eau Claire to Wausau to Rhinelander, north to Ashland to Rice Lake, all the way over to Minneapolis. And that same exact area is probably looking at a hefty 7 to 11 inches of snowfall. And of course, this is going to start moving its way in through the overnight hours tonight into early tomorrow morning. That's when everything's really going to start, ramps up throughout the afternoon, and then it starts to dissipate as we go into the evening and late night hours. So it's going to be an all-day event for the Northwoods, getting hit with heavy, wet, slushy type of snow. Our temperatures are going to be in those low 30s, so it is going to be that wet, sloppy kind of snowfall where it does ice over pretty quickly as that cold front comes through on Wednesday night and into our Thursday. That is when the rest of the state is going to see rain switch over to snow. So this will start on Wednesday afternoon and into those evening hours before the system kicks on out of here and is done for our Thursday. We'll actually see some sunshine, but obviously be in the cooler temperatures too for Thursday. We actually have another system headed our way too, but let's get through this one first because winds are going to be vicious too, gusting around 40 to potentially 50 miles per hour. And when you have those big, wet, heavy flakes and they kind of all are falling heavy at once and those winds on top of it, That's what creates whiteout conditions. So it's going to be very hard to drive out there. And of course, the roads are just going to be pretty terrible as we go through this system.
Happy first day of spring on Thursday, everybody.
Yay.
As winter spends its last full official day going, oh, yeah? I ain't done with you yet. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. It's partly cloudy, 40 degrees with a nice pink sunrise this morning. Yesterday went to the Clintonville to pick up my snowblower at Adam's Small Engine. Had supper at the Clintonville A&W, one of my favorite restaurants around. Looks like March madness of weather will continue with the Wednesday snowstorm for some of us. Could we have another snowstorm on Sunday?
Yep.
I don't know what Rob is trying to get out of on Sunday, but he's already making requests to get out of it, whatever it is.
Oh, I know. We are just the target of a couple storms. So, yes, this is just one of the 1-2 punch.
Yikes. More. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there any snow that will be heading southern statewide, or is it heading north?
That one, actually, the second one looks like it wants to hit southern parts of the state at this moment. But obviously, even this one today, the track is still shifting. It doesn't know if it would rather target the Northwoods or La Crosse and Wausau area. So they're iffy. But that one, Sunday, southern parts of the state, heads up.
You'll have to stay tuned for the nowcast on that one.
Yep.
Which is when it's actually happening here. to previous conversations, and Greg was talking about just how lovely it is to just be home.
Yep.
Sometimes Alicia's saying, home is my favorite place. The dog greetings, the dog attacks, when they attack you with love when you get home. Those are the best. Cassandra writes in, a house is not a home without a doggo. We kind of adopted the neighbor's dog yesterday.
Nice.
Does the neighbor know that?
Yes, it's an older couple, and the dog is a puppy and is very spirited, shall we say, and was looking to be a handful. And we thought, what that dog needs is a good long walk, to get tuckered out. And, our neighbors, God bless them, they're not going to take the dog on a long walk. And so we said, can we do that? Because we got to, we could use a little bit more exercise. And we did. And I'll tell you what. After a mile, that dog who was just so like, I'm jumping all over you. Yeah. I'm jumping all over you. Can we go home now?
Yeah.
And I'm betting our neighbors had a much quieter night than they have had for some time. And we got some exercise in. So we're like, okay, you're kind of our dog now after work. We'll take you for a walk.
You want to knock that out real quick? Find yourself a good dog park in your area. Mm-hmm. Let the dog get out like 20, 30 minutes and it'll be asleep in the back of your car.
If you live in an area with a dog park, it's great. And there is one in Chippewa Falls, not too terribly far away from here. And it helps. But this dog, much like the dog that we had for many years, never quite properly trained. In other words, if it sensed that leash was off, the dog park is basically the entire farm field across the street. And it will run all the way across that field into the barn, roll around in some silage juices and whatever else is on the floor of the barn, and maybe then come home. So
silage juices, okay.
Big fan of the dog parks with fences when they work.
Absolutely.
I wondered if Rob was trying to get out of something. No, Robert.
I was going
to
say.
Snowstorms are money makers for me. That's what we're talking about. All right. Well, good. See, we're all about the revenue streams here for weather.
We're all about the dollar bills,
that's
y'all.
Revenue, yes. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys. You too.
Not a lot to tell you about in sports today because, again, everything's a little bit later on in the week. You've got the NCAA basketball tournament, of course, with the Badger men taking on Montana on Thursday. They'll be playing in Denver. Marquette will be playing on Friday against 10-seed New Mexico. That game will be in Cleveland. And the Bucks start a 5-game road trip against Western Conference teams. They will be in Golden State tonight, Thursday in L.A. against the Lakers, Saturday in Sacramento, next Monday in Phoenix, next Wednesday in Denver. So they won't be home again until Friday of next week. The Badger women's hockey team is in the Final Four. They will be playing the Minnesota Gophers on Friday evening in the Twin Cities. So that's just a little look at sports that's going on now. Let me pick up on a question or a topic that Christina Laurie and I were talking about in the last hour. And that is, yesterday being St. Patrick's Day, we didn't dwell on it too much, but it's been 5 years, folks. 5 years ago on St. Patrick's Day was when the shutdown order came, because it was clear that COVID-19 had arrived and that Wisconsinites were starting to die. This crazy illness that we had no vaccine for, that nobody had any answer for. I mean, I don't even think Ron Johnson was hawking, you know, horse paste yet as a remedy. This was a completely new and terrifying thing. And as some people like to say, last week was the last normal week. And then 5 years ago, everything changed. And so if you would like to share a story of, you know, where you were or what you remember from that time, you can certainly jump in the comment sections, as all kinds of folks are doing now on YouTube and on Facebook. Go to the Up North News YouTube page, the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page. You can also call or text us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, and what you remember about it. And over at couriernewsroom.com, we have several different columnists who share their work with us, including Melissa Ryan, whose newsletter is called Control-Alt-Right-Delete, and tracking the rise of right-wing extremism. And she talks about it being the last normal week and where it all went wrong from this, from that moment onward. She writes, Trump's presidency and the MAGA movement that supports him undoubtedly made the pandemic worse for Americans. He was unable and unwilling to unify us in the way that we expect an American president to do when faced with a global crisis. He was also unable and unwilling to use the pandemic preparation plan created by the previous administration. Rather than tap into the federal government's knowledge and institutional memory on public health, Trump's son-in-law sourced research from a Facebook group of ER docs. Trump encouraged the anti-mask protest movement and refused to wear a mask himself most of the time. He refused to advocate all that hard for the vaccine, even though its development was one of the few wins of his administration. Trump wouldn't even follow CDC recommendations in the White House or when he caught the virus. We'll never know how many lives were lost as a result of the Trump administration's negligence and opportunism. And there's much more in Melissa's column as well. You can go to Courier Newsroom and head over to her Control-Alt-Right-Delete column. And it is something that still conjures up strong feelings from many folks. Strong feelings from people who somehow feel like the precautions were some kind of infringement on civil liberties and on their freedom. When we asked people to avoid social contact and to keep the kids home from school because we did not yet know what would be the impact on kids, how easily it could be transmitted from kids to teachers and older staff members at school or to their grandparents. Cassandra writes on YouTube here, it was such a weird time. Our hospital didn't get hit super hard until that fall, but we were always on edge. Then in October, we got slammed and it didn't stop. We went straight into trauma season. And I remember that well, because in our newsletter, we would have the daily totals, number of cases, number of hospitalizations, number of deaths. And it was in the fall when some people were starting to let their guard down, saying, look, it doesn't seem to be that bad. And then, of course, as they started mingling, the number of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths skyrocketed. Thank God for the vaccine and the people who developed it. And I will never stop being grateful to those folks, just as I will never stop carrying their flag now that the funding for research and development and humanitarian aid and everything else is being cut by the same guy who led to God only knows how many deaths starting 5 years ago this week. Back after this. You're Up North.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Todd Alba Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sport. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. whether you're the passer or the receiver. That's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is Shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican Rep. Brian Stile said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. Maybe you should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary. And I think so. We the people should do something about it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the...
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio. And Adam Levine is 46 years old. You can catch our history lesson every morning at 6:50, Monday through Friday, on Up North News Radio. We'll certainly be on the lookout for other COVID takes that come in from 5 years ago, but I will address this text from Mark in Sussex, who writes, "Okay, snowflake, more people died under Biden. Trump fast-tracked the vaccine." Yes, Trump fast-tracked the vaccine, and then inexplicably started to buy into the vaccine denial. But the more people died under Biden thing, yeah, true. Know why? Complacency and callousness, accelerated by that same guy who fast-tracked the vaccine. Greg, you said you were listening in. It was in the room next door to you, but we haven't talked yet about Brittany Kinzer's interview with us on Friday.
Yeah.
And then he was on with Earl Ingram, or she was on with Earl Ingram yesterday.
Yeah.
And I know folks definitely got the impression during our interview on Friday that she wasn't exactly looking to answer the questions. And when I tried to steer her back to the question, especially the cost of voucher schools, she simply accused me of, you know, wanting to interrupt her and let her finish her point. But the point never came back to how we can financially sustain two school systems in the state. Did you catch anything on Earl's show that might have illuminated that further?
As far as I know, no. I was prepping for Matt and Aaron Air when she was on, but from what I gleaned from other people, they said that she was not doing her best to answer questions as well. And I just want to say this, too, and Dan made the point, and you made the point, too, thanking her for being on Civic Media at all, because it had been easy to not be here. But she came on and just didn't really give the reasons why she wants to be the head of the DPI. And I think that's an important thing to throw down there, because that's an important job. You're talking about how many children in this, I think 800,000 children in the public school system. And if you can't answer why two revenue streams isn't a good idea, then I don't know why we should be voting for that person then.
There is no doubt that she is a staunch and strong advocate for kids and for charter schools and for private schools and to give people a choice. And to be clear, and we have been very clear about this, if you choose to send your kid to a private school, to a charter school, whatever, that's great. That's great. You have that freedom to do that. But I'm always going to advocate tirelessly for the local public school in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. wherever your neighborhood is, and you can't have the strongest schools possible if we're diverting public taxpayer money to private schools. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to a private school, great. If you want to apply for scholarships like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, depend on the benevolence of others for your children's education. Don't come to the taxpayers for that. We've got a school system.
You know? I agree, and it's hard to see. You know. I live in Kenosha. We had a referendum on our ballot for the primary, and I don't have children. I don't have anyone in my life who's in school, at least a public school. And I voted yes because I want those schools to be the best as possible. And the people of Kenosha said no, and I understand why. So, once again, how are you going to fix that? And kudos to her for her mission. She's like, I want children to learn to read. I'm like, that's great. I want children to learn to read, but that is not the overarching problem to be, you know, that's a smaller problem in the overall problem that we're facing right now. And she wasn't able to answer those questions for you. And when she got to the point where she was accusing you of interrupting her,
yes,
that became frustrating because it was like, it's a simple question. It is a very,
yeah, and we only have so much time. So we wanted to get to much more than we were able to, but she did come on and talk about her candidacy, which, again, we are very appreciative of. Early voting starts today for the elections. The elections are 2 weeks from today on April 1st, and early in-person absentee ballot voting is now underway at your local clerk's office. Your local clerk is the one who decides the availability, the hours, the times, and so you really should go to your local city clerk, town clerk, find out what the hours are. If you don't know how to reach that local clerk, I'll tell you who does. The Wisconsin Elections Commission, and they have a site, myvote.wi.gov, where among the many things that it can do, voter registration, what's on your ballot, polling locations, but it will also, you put in your address, it'll connect you right to, this is your local clerk. Here's how you reach your local clerk to find out how to go vote before April 1st. Which I always try to do all the time. And so you could as well. And that way it won't be overlooked on April 1st for that election for state superintendent and that big election for Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Speaking of that, let's see, Donald Trump Jr. was in Oconomowoc yesterday, stumping for Brad Schimmel in his race for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Again, ostensibly a nonpartisan race, but in name only. And Don Jr. talking all about basically what folks on the progressive side have been saying, that this is a referendum on Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Don Jr. did not shy away from that at all and said, this is essentially another presidential election in the sense that, you know, Brad Schimmel is going to carry water for Donald Trump on things that may come up, like, you know, election results and whether to respect them or not. And there was a photo making the rounds on social media, Greg, of Brad Schimmel and others standing under, like, what was it, a 40-foot inflatable Donald Trump?
A giant Trump.
A giant parade balloon size. Yeah. And Brad Schimmel saying that he could be impartial if Donald Trump were to come before him, said the guy who posed under a 40-foot inflatable Donald Trump.
This coming from a party who was very upset when Mark Zuckerberg was donating money to help run elections smoother. They don't have a problem with this money coming in. They're okay with this.
Yes. So again, always just be considering the source. Mm-hmm. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz will be in Eau Claire today. That is somewhat related to the elections, but also to basically tweak Derek Van Orden, one of the many Republican members of Congress who aren't holding any kind of a genuine town hall, aren't really answering questions completely in teletown halls, aren't answering questions completely when talking to local reporters, and instead accusing the reporters of lying. And so when we called out Derek Van Orden yesterday about that, if you missed it earlier, he reposted an excerpt from our radio show on his social media to call us clowns and say we don't understand the definition of gaslighting, and he put in the definition of gaslighting. So go to Derek Van Orden's social media, look at a clip from our show, look at the definition of gaslighting, and tell us who you think is right. Hans Brighton Moser is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The art of negotiation, something that farmers should not forget if they're being approached for solar energy projects. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. A farmer from Nebraska sharing his insights with Wisconsin farmers. That's up next.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Graham Christensen is a farmer himself in Nebraska. He also happens to be president of a solar energy systems company. He thinks renewable energy is a great idea and very important for the future, but he says when it comes to farms being approached about committing their valuable farmland to these solar projects, he thinks it's important that you negotiate a little bit.
Regarding solar energy, it's a little different story. It takes up, like you said, a whole bunch more land. So back home in our county, we're asking the companies to make sure they restore the prairie, put vegetation in the solar system. So then if we're taking out the farmland and we're using that land to produce this clean energy that meets the demand of locals, we're also going to have a grass-based prairie system in place. And that is going to allow this to stop erosion, to restore habitat, for more wildlife habitat.
Graham Christensen, he is a farmer himself in Nebraska. He's also president of a solar energy systems company. He encourages anybody that is negotiating with renewable energy companies to be careful. He said they've seen where companies will get the lease on land and let that lease ride for years, then try to get access to minerals on that ground. He says he just wants to make sure farmers are not taken advantage of. Christensen was in Wisconsin for a meeting with the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
Oh, and from all of us here at the Midwest Farm Report, happy National Ag Day. Find out more about that event at agday.org. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have a winter storm that's going to bring some heavy snow late tonight through Wednesday afternoon. We're talking 4 to 8 inches of accumulation with strong 30 to 40 mile per hour wind gusts creating blowing snow into Wednesday evening. Today, though, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Todd Allbus Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher, they had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by Mini Timuraju, the CEO of Reproductive Freedom for All. We talk about the importance of the Supreme Court race that's heating up. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
One song this day in 1978 by the Bee Gees. Coming up on 7:35 on this Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio, I'm Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls. Greg Bach and Racine. And somewhere on the road right now is our friend Hans Breitenmoser, who's normally on the farm out there near Merrill, joins us occasionally on Tuesdays to talk about rural matters of one type or another. And I've got a couple things to talk to him about today. But he is joining us on the road with his hands at 10 and 2 on the wheel. I trust Mr. Breitenmoser. Good morning. How are you?
Absolutely. Good morning, Pat.
Good. Good to hear. Where are your travels taking you these days?
So I'm headed to Pewaukee, Wisconsin today for National Farmers Organization two-day annual conference.
Oh, okay. I have a sense of what the big topics will be, but why don't you fill in the blanks? I'm sure there's a few things you guys can talk about while you're all together.
Yeah, so National Farmers Organization is, as the name would suggest, an organization of farmers all across the nation. And they're kind of a marketing organization. So we sell our milk to national farmers. And then that milk ends up at a Sartori cheese plant to make cheese. But national farmers market milk, grain, and advocates and has been advocating for farmers and sort of farm gate prices for years and years and years. And so this is their annual conference. And this is the first time I've ever gone to one. And one of the people that will be speaking to us is Mike Stranz from National Farmers Union, talk about what's happening in Washington and so forth. And so, yeah, of course, a lot of the conversations, will be, centered around all the chaos that's coming out of the White House with regard to tariffs and, frozen funds and thawed out funds and refrozen funds and deportation and all the fun stuff that we're getting thrown at us.
fun stuff is an interesting way of putting it. Yes. So we started out the program by talking about a report and analysis in the New York Times, and then I've written it up, and you can find it over at upnorthnewswi.com, noting that the Times looked at all of the retaliatory tariffs coming from Canada, from the European Union, from China, and where Trump has been doing a lot of across-the-board tariffs, like 20% on all goods from China or 25% on all steel and aluminum from Canada, the response from the other countries is much more specific, much more targeted, targeting Trump in swing states, and Wisconsin, of course, being the swingiest of them. And Wisconsin is at the top of the list in terms of the highest percentage of our total jobs being in industries that are targeted by these retaliatory tariffs. The other 49 states, those retaliatory tariffs will hit industries that employ 1 to 8% of the state's labor force. In Wisconsin, nearly 10% of the workforce is in areas that are going to be hit by these retaliatory tariffs. You understand it. And I think that we're going to find a lot more of our friends and neighbors who think it's just something that happens to somebody else and are going to be in for a rude awakening if this drags on.
Oh, yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. And it is. I think Wisconsin is in a unique position because of what we do here and what we grow here and produce here and so forth. If you're in ag, you're going to be in the crosshairs of retaliatory tariffs, because what a lot of Wisconsin exports, and certainly what a lot of the United States exports, are agricultural products. So, those are things that these other countries can target. And I said for years that, these trade wars, they tend not to do any good for anybody. I do sincerely believe that we have to, protect our own interests and be genuinely concerned about what, how much we're buying versus how much we're selling and so forth. Absolutely 100% true. But I also feel like these things, these trade, relationships have to be mutually beneficial. And I keep coming back to the idea of, some of this stuff with Canada and Mexico, for example, these are the same trade agreements that the president himself came up with the last time he was in office. And now they're the worst thing in the world. And by God, we got to get rid of them because they're super unfair. you're the one that signed these things. What am I missing here?
I'll never, honestly, for all the times that we've talked about national media and double standards and things like that, this is right up there at the top of the list. If this is something that a Joe Biden or a Barack Obama had done, it would be such a much bigger story. Like, why is Joe Biden opposed to the very trade deal that he signed? Did he forget that he signed it or something like that? And Donald Trump's getting a flat out pass on this. And it won't be, unfortunately, until later, like I said, as more Wisconsin folks are either losing jobs or they don't get pay raises because their companies didn't do as much trade. And it just is taking a long time for some folks to connect the dots, but the dots are there and the dots are very real. Now, last time around, what Trump did was add to the national debt by sending out support checks totaling something like $27 billion to keep farmers afloat. Well, what did we actually gain then when all was said and done? But we had Selena Heller talk to Les Danielson, a farmer from near Kadot. And he says, I think that's one of the reasons a lot of farmers like Trump, because they received all of those Trump payments. But, you know, the man who destroys our market really shouldn't be rewarded for using government money, all of which is borrowed, to backfill the farmer's income. And it makes me wonder, Hans, if Les's point is going to carry more weight with more farmers who go, this is the guy that's the reason debt's going up. It's nice to have that check, but I'd rather have a market for my soybeans.
Well, exactly. I mean, historically, farmers would prefer actually good margins to any subsidies that we get, because everybody just wants to do business, and what I find so hypocritical from the Republican Party is this constant notion that capitalism uber alles and no government involvement, and then they create a situation where then they're feeling like, oh, now we have to support the farmers with taxpayer dollars. When had they not mismanaged it to begin with, we wouldn't be having the conversation and we would have decent, sustainable prices. So, and the other thing, again, and at the risk of going down a rabbit trail here, but in none of this conversation are we talking about multinational corporations that corner markets and monopolize things, and nobody in Washington is talking about antitrust legislation. That's if they want to do something for farmers, that's the conversation that should be happening. How can we make sure that there are more markets for us, and we don't have just a handful of meat packers or a handful of soybean processors or what have you? That's the real problem. But once again, I feel like some of this is shiny object. Look over here. When in fact the real problem they want to keep hidden from us, because there are big donors that are keeping politicians' pockets lined.
Oh, it's absolutely providing cover for corporations, and we note in the story on our website, we quote, Danish Nipper is a building materials supplier in New York, who told the Associated Press he thinks the tariffs will give American manufacturers cover to raise prices on steel components. Schnipper says, these prices will never come down. Whatever's going to happen, these things will be sticky. And that's something that we definitely notice, is that when you provide that kind of cover, suddenly those temporary price increases, they don't seem to be all that temporary. And that may be exactly where we're going from here, Hans.
I really think so. And it bothers the consumer, and it bothers me as a producer, because, all of this is then, inflated prices. And so there's, when you've got inflation already going on and inflation is in the news, it does provide great cover for retailers to say, we can add a few bucks onto that product, and nobody's going to blame us. Everybody's going to blame Joe Biden or, some other, nefarious government type deal. But the other thing that people have to understand that are outside the farming community is, dairy farming, for example, is one of the few enterprises where we buy retail and sell wholesale. And so we're already squeezed. And so when our prices are squeezed and our margins are lowered by having lower prices for lack of markets and so forth, that stinks bad enough. But remember, we also buy a lot of stuff. a lot of stuff made out of steel, a lot of stuff that comes from overseas. And so here we go again, right? We're paying more for the products that we need to produce the product that we produce that is valued, you know, less as a result of losing those markets. So we're feeling it. We're at the risk of, you know, sounding like I'm complaining again. It is a little stressful because we're getting kind of pinched here.
Well, sure, but I mean, again, these are points that have to be made over and over and over again until some folks finally pay attention and say, wait a minute, there might be something to that point. We're talking to Hans Brighton Moser, a dairy farmer from up in Lincoln County. And let me switch gears to something that the Wisconsin Assembly will be taking up today in Madison. And it is a bill that would essentially micromanage county sheriffs when it comes to immigration enforcement. Because right now, county sheriffs in Wisconsin have wide latitude in determining the extent to which they will cooperate with federal immigration enforcement. But that discretion would be taken away if a bill is passed later today by Republicans in the state assembly, and if it were to be signed by the governor, which nobody expects to happen. But this is the kind of thing that they're spending their time and your tax dollars working on today. The bill calls for a 15% reduction in state aid to communities where local law enforcement refuses to carry out the stricter practices sought by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel tried to survey every sheriff in the state and got most of them to respond in one degree or another. And you get this, again, this wide variety of responses from sheriffs, some of whom will say, look, unauthorized immigration is not a criminal offense. No matter how many times Republicans say they're illegal, they've committed a crime, unauthorized immigration is a civil violation. And yet that's where they want to put all of our resources. And yet you have other sheriffs who have indicated not only do they ask about immigration information at things like traffic stops, but if they come across a crime victim who is undocumented, they will report that person to ICE. And so people are less likely to report crimes that happen to them. And Hans, I know it varies from county to county, but the story in the Journal Sentinel points out that some sheriffs are hearing from farmers and others saying, don't be doing this. I got hard workers here. They're doing their best. They're supporting families. Don't be going along with the political games of demonizing people with darker colored skin when there could be other ways to use your resources. I'm guessing you have similar thoughts on that bill.
Yeah, well, this irritates me on a number of levels. You know, I was on the county board in Lincoln County for 10 years, and the last thing any county needs is another unfunded mandate, for starters. And this is basically, you know, Republicans in Madison actively, I don't want to use the word extortion, but I mean, we're getting close right here, right? When they're saying, okay, this is what you're going to do, and otherwise we're going to take away funding. Well, how dare they? How dare they is what I say. Because, you know, this the Republicans used to be the party of local control. Well, that's gone completely down the crapper because they have no interest in local control at all. And now, you know, to have Wisconsin legislators basically do the bidding of their national party is just ridiculous. I mean, are these people not even Wisconsinites anymore? And then, you know, getting back to the root cause of this whole thing to begin with is it's this manufactured nonsense about, you know, immigrants, you know, committing crimes at a higher rate than anyone else. That's blatantly false. It's a lie. And so this whole deportation thing has been based on a great big fat lie right from the get-go. And that's what's so frustrating is that we're creating public policy based on a falsehood that doesn't exist to begin with.
Right. And just basing it all on racial profiling and other things that we don't have time to get into right now, but there are very dark places in some people's souls. Hans Brighton Moser, safe travels to you. Thanks for jumping on the line with us today.
Yep, no problem.
All right, when we come back.
For me one day when I'm laying on feet.
There you go. You hear that, Dan? You're on notice. Chad Holmes is next. You're up north.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you were an Irish Catholic immigrant in the 1840s through the 1920s, many of your Protestant fellow Americans, some of whom joined the xenophobic Know Nothing Party, tried to suppress your vote. A famine in Ireland and economic instability in Germany saw millions of immigrants coming to America beginning in the 1820s. According to Smithsonian Magazine, between 1845 and 1854, 2.9 million immigrants arrived, including an estimated one quarter of Ireland's entire population. In cities like New York and Boston, the mostly Protestant American political elite saw Irish Catholics as a threat to their American culture. In 1849, the shadowy Know Nothing Party arose, a cross between a political party and a street gang, and grew to America's first sizable third party. Historian J.P. Dolan found the Know Nothings elected 8 governors, 100 congressmen, and several mayors. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "When the Know Nothings get control, it will read, 'All men are created equal, except Negroes and foreigners and Catholics.'" They proposed a 21-year wait time for foreign-born immigrants to vote, tried to ban Catholics and foreigners from holding office, even deporting 300 Irish immigrants back to Liverpool. But Irish immigrants, when they could vote, voted in higher numbers. By the 1880s, they became a political force in Boston, New York, and Chicago. I'm Brian Beal.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Chat Home Show is coming up shortly here on 98.9 WXCO, or as Tony puts it on YouTube, Chad Wassum in Wausau. Chad, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Tony also writes in on YouTube, Hans is the best. Great conversation about sheriffs and local control. Had no idea this was happening today in Madison, but it is. That's what's happening at the State Assembly here. So, you can listen to Chad's show on the Civic Media app as well. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. If I could continue the conversation just briefly with you, Chad. Just to point out that in our story, we bring up the story that will go up on our website later today once the Assembly passes this bill, as we expect they will. We note a couple of stories here that have been told by USA Today and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There was Ma Yang, a Milwaukee-area mother of 5, who came to this country as a baby with her Hmong refugee parents. She was detained earlier this month and flown to Laos, a country she has never lived in, and she does not speak the language. And she is there without money and without the insulin she needs to treat her diabetes. Then there's Camila Munoz, a college student from Peru, came to Wisconsin Dells on a work study visa, stayed past her visa expiration date due to the COVID pandemic. She was working, picking up towels at a water park, and working in food service. She later met and married a local and was taking steps to become a U.S. citizen, but it's not final yet. And coming back from their honeymoon last month, she was detained at an airport and is now in a detention center in Louisiana that costs taxpayers hundreds of dollars a day per person. For folks that think, things aren't going to be that bad, it is that bad for these folks and more right here in Wisconsin, and these stories are only going to grow, Chad. I just wonder if the compassion for these folks is going to grow.
Compassion is a good word that needs to be put out there, because the cruelty seems to be the point. And they get their jollies out of, number one, doing it, and number two, then getting away with avoiding court orders as they stop it.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that they handled the whole El Salvadoran situation over the weekend. Oh, whoopsie. I mean, at what point does somebody say, step up and say, you can't do this? Because apparently a weakness in our system is showing up, where we've had up to this point, even Nixon even Nixon would be upset when the courts would say you have to give up the tapes, but ultimately he did so.
Because he didn't say, yeah, he didn't say to the judge, you and what army, you know? And so let's try to game this out, because it could happen yet this week where the judge in this particular case says, well, I have no choice but to hold so-and-so in contempt. It might be the lawyers. It might be some administration official. And this judge orders those folks into custody, for example, for failing to follow a court order. You have to send a message. What does Trump do then? Immediately pardon these people? Does Trump, you know, try to send soldiers to a courthouse to prevent somebody from being taken into custody because they ignored his court order? And again, I know it all sounds alarmist. I'm just saying we could see that kind of a crisis yet this week with the lawlessness of this administration.
Well, a year ago, the Supreme Court said that he was not going to be held criminally liable. Anything that he does in office with his official duties, that leaves it up to folks in the other branches to be the ones that are trying to be equal within our government. And unfortunately, at this point, we don't see much of that from obviously both the Senate and the House under Republican control. But at the same time, it does not appear that the Democrats have the stomach to push any kind of, guardrails against Donald Trump and his administration. And the court says we see, again, so much of what they're able to do depends on the other branches respecting their authority within our system of government. And unfortunately, we've seen over the years that Donald Trump and the people around Donald Trump, I think, you know, we talk about Donald Trump all the time. It's really the people around Donald Trump that are, I think, as dangerous as anybody that we've ever seen in this country, because Trump spends so much time golfing these days that I think that the keys to the store have been left with some very dangerous people like Stephen Miller.
Yeah. A little bit closer to home in terms of compassion for folks. And I have no idea your thoughts on Shireen Seward from the Wausau Pilot and Review, but I read part of her column on Friday's show about taking her first days off in like 8 years. And I know in the early days, at least, if not still now, she wasn't the biggest fan of Up North News, but I completely understood her point about finally taking some days off because of how toxic the comments have become about journalists trying to do their job. And folks, if this is happening in sleepy little Wausau, Wisconsin, you know, no place is safe from this kind of toxic language.
And the thing about it is, again, it feels like the Pandora's box has been opened up with this. And I have no doubt what she has seen has been awful. To be honest with you, I've been getting a few of those myself recently. I just think that there is a part of the community right now that is going after anybody that is a little bit outside what they consider their mainstream. And I think we're seeing in this era that you're either for us or you're against us. There's no real gray area that if you ever say anything bad about Dear Leader Don or Dear Leader Doug in this community or
Derek in this one where you get called a clown. You know? So,
exactly. I mean, it really is that if you step outside what they feel like you should be saying, they're not afraid to come at you and come at you very, very hard.
Exactly. Well, look, you've hacked off a mayor. I upped you. I've done a congressman. Ball's in your court, buddy. Go after Ron Johnson. Let's see what happens.
Tiffany's going after. I mean, he's been with an agreement today, and he refuses to have open meetings with the constituents. So it's the same all over the place right now.
You want to see my shocked face on that? Chad Holmes is up next on 98.9 WXCO. Thanks, sir. Have a great day. Greg's back in 2 hours for Matt Nair on Air. Tune in for that as well on the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. I'm Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls. We'll see you tomorrow morning up north.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, turns out Republicans aren't the only ones who don't want to hear from their constituents. Run away, run away. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel pounding Gaza with more airstrikes overnight, signaling an end to the ceasefire. ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz has more.
The tenuous ceasefire between Israel and Hamas over. Israel launching a wave of deadly airstrikes across the Gaza Strip, lighting up Gaza just after 2:30 a.m. local time, in the largest assault on Hamas targets since the ceasefire took effect nearly 2 months ago.
The Hamas-run Gaza Health Agency says more than 400 people have been killed. This morning, President Trump will hold talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin by phone on the ceasefire that Ukraine has agreed to. Ukrainian President Zelensky says he is convinced Putin is simply paying lip service to President Trump as Russian forces continue pounding his country. Red flag fire warnings up in effect from Texas through Nebraska. This is ABC News.